whom all good things come. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to think those things which are right, and by your goodness help us to do them, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Scott reads the first lesson.
Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a large company was added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large company of people, and in Antioch the disciples were for the first time called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, called Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world, and this took place in the days of Claudius. And the disciples determined, everyone according to his abilities, to send relief to the brethren who lived in Judea. And they did also, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
The Psalm 98.
The Lord, a new song, for he has done marvelous things. With his right hand and his holy arm, he has won for himself the victory. The Lord has made known his victory. His righteousness has he openly shown in sight of the nations. He remembers his mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King and the Lord. Make the sea make noise. All that is in it, the lands and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord. When he comes to judge the earth, in righteousness shall he judge the world, and the peoples with equity.
Tom reads the second lesson.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are of God, and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore what they say is of the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and he who is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Oh,
Abide in my law. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my law, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his word. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, to love one another. Here is the gospel.
Can you see? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. This past week I was in California, which is a dubious privilege, I expect, but anyway, I was down there talking to some people about their congregation, and they were looking for a pastor. And so one of the questions that they asked me, in fact, the first question that they asked me was, why do you think that you are called into the ministry? That's a rather difficult question to start with, but it was a good one. So I answered all sorts of things about my family and my background and my education and this and that and everything else, giving some sort of reason about why I felt called into the ministry. But then at the end of 3 or 4 minutes of talking about that, I said, honestly, the best reason is in the Gospel of John, and that is, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And that is one of the lines we have in the Gospel for this night. From the Gospel of John. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Sometimes you may wonder if you are a Christian or if you are not a Christian. Sometimes you may wonder why you're here, and if there is faith within you, where did it come from? If there isn't faith, why isn't there? Somehow the best answer is this one. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Howard Kimball and Lonnie Starks used to be the captains of the baseball team in our town. And Howard Kimball would choose up one side, and Lonnie Starks would choose up the other side, and 13 of us would stand in the infield while Lonnie Starks over on first base chose his team, and Howard on third base chose his team. And the dread is, of course, standing in the infield and being the last one chosen. You maybe have had that rather unpleasant experience. In school, we had milk when I was in third grade and fourth grade. I think we had milk time every day about 10:10, and it used to cost 3 cents a day. And for some reason, we didn't have the 3 cents a day at our home, so I didn't get milk. But 29 children in the classroom got milk, and there were 30 of us, and I never got any milk. Well, once in a while, though, somebody would not be there. They'd be homesick, and so there'd be an extra, and the teacher would have to choose who got the extra milk that day. And I can remember the one day out of the year that I got the milk. I don't know why my folks didn't have the 3 cents. Maybe we were poor, but I do remember the day that I was chosen. I was chosen by the teacher to get the spare milk, and it was a great treat, and I savored it all the time. Craig Cronholm, whose dad worked in a bank and evidently maybe was a little richer than we were, Craig Cronholm was chosen to be a crossing guard. And I was never chosen to be. Did you anybody do that? Did you have one of those with a nice thing across here? I never was chosen for that. And so when I read in the Bible, you know, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, I feel very special at that point, you know, because I didn't get chosen very often for the spare milk or for the crossing guard, and sometimes was number 13 to be chosen by Howard Kimball and Lonnie Starks in that baseball game. And so when it comes to a sense of being chosen, that's a very special thing to me. Do you have a sense of being chosen? Chosen by God, either because of experiences you've had, like Holden or other places like it, or your education, your family, many different things. Do you have some sense that God has shaped you and molded you and formed you and kind of pushed you into the place that you are, that God has chosen you? Many of you, I would think, could tell stories about a sense of being chosen that you feel within your life. And I would expect, in fact, I know, that there are some here this night who do not have any sense whatsoever of being chosen. As a matter of fact, they have a deep sense of being the 13th waiting to play ball, of being the one who never did get asked to drink the spare milk. I know that there must be some of you here this night who have not experienced through Holden or through family or through church any sense of God's choosing you, of giving you direction in your life. There's an old fight in the church, and it's still around, and it's been around for centuries. The fight's called predestination. And one of the words from the scriptures that's used to talk about this predestination fight is this phrase that I'm talking about this night. You did not choose me, but I chose you. One half of the predestination people the people who fight over this issue will say that God chooses and decides everything that we do. You know, but that's what this phrase says. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And that everything we do, what we wear and where we work and where we travel and what we say is all sort of predetermined by God. The other side of the argument is just the opposite. It centers in not on I chose you, but rather it centers in on a phrase like, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's in the gospel also. Two sides of the debate, predestination debate. Well, that debate is usually carried on in big theological with big theological words, but the emotions of that fight, that tension between being called and not being called, of being a free agent or being a determined agent, the emotions behind that are really just the same as being on the playground with Howard Kimball and Lonnie Starks waiting to play ball. The emotions behind that are really just the same. Heresy in the church is an interesting thing. Heresy isn't a gross error. Heresy is just a truth pushed a little too far. For example, it is true that we are chosen by God, that we don't choose Him. But if we push that too far, then we get to the point where we are nothing but robots and God is choosing everything for us. The truth is not in pushing one verse too far, but rather it is in holding them in tension. Holding the tension between God choosing us, and He does, and the fact that we must do some choosing as well. Living with the tension of God's choice of us and our response to that choice is where the truth of the scripture does lie. Holden is often a joyful place. Last week when I was visiting with some people in California, I had a chance to talk about Holden, and I talked so long and so loud somebody threw a styrofoam cup at me so I'd sit down and shut up because I was so excited about the place. And I could talk about crafts and music and joy and food and hikes and friendship and a million things. But yet there are some here who will not experience that joy, in spite of all that can be given in this place. There are some here who have what could be called a wounded spirit. Someone asked me yesterday, what do you say to somebody who has a wounded spirit? And it was a beautiful question. It's an honest question. What do you say to someone who has a wounded spirit, to someone who does not have any sense of being called, of being chosen, of being special? What do you say to someone who feels as if they are always number 13, waiting to be chosen by Howard Kimball or Lonnie Starks and somehow never getting to play in the game? Well, there are some things to be said. and they come from the scriptures this night. The first is to say that Christ calls us his friend. It is to say that at the heart of the universe, I am loved and I am accepted and I am special. That at the heart of the universe, I am somebody's friend. It pains me to think that 4 years from now, I may not remember some of your names. Some of you who are dear friends now, some way, somehow, it may be that 4 years from now, that friendship might slip some. I don't like to say that even. I don't even like to think it, but it's true. I went back to California, I just told you about that twice now, I'll say it again, and visited some friends. But the friendship was different this time. I've only been gone 8 months. But yet after 7 years of knowing some of these people, all that friendship was on a different level. Jesus says, I'm your friend. And it's a powerful word to use. When your friends fail you, and when you have no sense of being chosen, Jesus says, I'm your friend. And the simple song of Sunday school is still the best, isn't it? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to him in prayer. He says, I'm your friend. I'm your best friend. So to the wounded spirit, that's one word. Jesus is a friend. And then to the wounded spirit, to the one who has no sense of being chosen and called, something else can be said. It can be said that someone is trying to love you, either parent or acquaintance, or someone who is trying to be a friend. When I receive hugs from you during the sharing of the peace and give them to you, a part of that for me is to say, for me to say to you through that hug, I haven't been a very good friend to you this last 7 days, but the next 7 days I'm going to try to be a better friend. I believe that many, many people here are trying to love you and trying to listen to you and care for you and be good to you, not only here but all across the world. People pray for you and care for you and love you very much. And that may not be felt very keenly, and it may not be a deeply moving inside of you. You may feel very lonely and estranged from all of us and from really the whole world. But I do believe that there are people who love you, and they're at least trying very hard to love you. And then to a wounded spirit and to someone who has no sense of being called, one last thing might be said, and that is some advice from Martin Luther when he didn't feel very good, and when some of the brothers in the monastery didn't feel so good either. He used to tell them to go out and plow the ground. And that isn't a very spiritual thing, it seems, but I believe that one of the reasons Holden is such a spiritually healing place is because there is work to be done. Carrots to be peeled and lawns to be mowed and holes to be dug and all of that work that we have here. To the wounded spirit who has no sense of being called, perhaps one of the things that we can do is to work, for work is a sacramental event. We sense in work the joy and the presence of Christ. And also we can come to know that we can do the commandments that Christ gives us to do. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will feel loved. And so to wounded spirits, this can be said. Reach out to someone else. Reach out and listen to them and care for them. And in your reaching out, you yourself. We'll sing hymn number 298. Thank you.
response to the spoken word from the scriptures, we respond by the confession of the creed. The words are from Martin Luther. God's family and of one another, let us come together honestly to tell God that we have not lived as we could and ask Him to forgive us. Our Father, we have not fulfilled the hope in which You created us. We repent and ask Your mercy that our sin might be forgiven and our guilt removed. Help us to learn from Scripture and from one another Your will for our lives, so that with Your help we can claim the inheritance of unlimited freedom which You have willed of us through Your Son. You came to our world in Jesus. Come now to us. God our Father does care about us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to us, and for us Jesus gave His life. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and who has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled with one another and share the peace of the Lord. The peace of Christ be with you.
And with you too.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace that is from above and for our resurrection, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the people of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy place. devotion and fear of God, offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, strengthen, and defend us, O God, by your grace.
You did not choose me, but I chose you, that we're privileged to have a commissioning service. We are really representing the Division of World Missions in this commissioning service. Bonnie will be a teacher, but it is a call from the Board of Foreign Missions of our church. And the service is usually in the home congregation, and for 2 years, Holden has been her home. So you represent the whole church, and I represent a division of the church as we commission her for her next mission in life and for her next home. Begin with a prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, faithful Lord and Savior, you who have commanded your children to bring the gospel to all people, and that we should share our love with all people, you who have promised to bless our labors, we praise and honor your holy name. We give thanks to you for your great salvation which you have prepared for all people. We thank you that you have heard the prayers of your people and that Bonnie has been led to offer herself in your service in a land and among a people other than her own. Grant us genuine appreciation of your great mercy in calling us to be co-laborers with you in the extension of your kingdom. Increase our faith in you, our love for all people, and our hope of eternal life, and grant that our labors may be crowned with your blessing. Amen. Bonnie, I now ask you two questions. If you, by the help of God, can answer, I will, that's part of this commissioning service. Inasmuch as you, Bonnie, have been called to serve as a missionary of the American Lutheran Church, but serve in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Hong Kong, and have accepted this call, I therefore ask you before God and before this your congregational family, will you, by the help of God, faithfully live and serve in accordance with God's holy word and the confessions of the Lutheran Church? If so, answer, I will. Will you serve as a missionary of the American Lutheran Church, laboring in your place of responsibility under the assignment and jurisdiction of the church to which you are sent, and in keeping with the policies of the Division for World Mission and Interchurch Cooperation of the American Lutheran Church? This is the church you will represent in your overseas responsibility. If so, answer, I will.
I will.
It says the commissioner then extends his hand and shakes hands. It has to be official. I mean, on the basis of this, your promise, and by the authority of the American Lutheran Church, I commission you as a missionary of that church to go forth as a witness of Jesus Christ. We lay upon you the responsibility and the joy of fulfilling a high calling in obedience to a Lord who sends you. Let us pray. Our Father, it is a great and wonderful privilege to be your children and your friends, and it is also a great privilege to serve you. Let Bonnie sense this privilege and grant her deep and continuing joy in her service. Give her strength and give her health. Teach her to look to you at all times. Teach her to thank and praise you under all circumstances, and to lay aside her will that yours might be done. We pray, bless her ministry. And now I ask you, who were witnesses of this commissioning, that you also share in the full commission of the church and the witness of the church. We are not all literally sent, which is what the word mission means, but we all share in that. And the more people we personally know who have decided to accept calls to other lands, the more I think we are involved in their ministry. I ask you to continue to pray for Bonnie and others who are separated from us, and to keep in mind that our whole church is a church that has been sent. In our Father's name we live our lives, and in our Father's name we conclude this service. Peace.
Before we begin the Thanksgiving, let's continue with more prayers. Time of prayer in the community. Conclude your prayers with, Lord, in your mercy, and we will respond, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, I pray that you will give Bonnie strength and your light in her work overseas. And I pray that at this opportunity that each of us might look more deeply at your will for us and examine whether or not indeed that may be part of your calling for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Where are spirits that we might learn to reach out to others in those
times.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer.
Lord, for many, many people who have made this place possible and whose ministry is such an important part of this place, especially this day that we remember in thankfulness and enjoy the privilege of working with and knowing our friend Bill Turner. And we ask you to bless him on his way and the new community at 25 Mile and the friends there. We're thankful, O Lord, for Bill and for all that he's done for this place through the years. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
For these and for all the prayers that we pray, for the silent needs of our heart, for needs that we do not understand, for the church universal, and for your whole world, we pray this day. Amen.
Amen.
So Thanksgiving.
Your hearts,
lift them up to God.
Give thanks to the Lord.
He is good and right
to you. It is truly right and proper at all times and places to give our thanks to you, Lord. Holy Father, almighty, ever-living God, therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
the name of the Lord.
are holy indeed. All your actions show your mercy and love. You made us in your image and set us over your creation. Even when we had fallen under the spell of sin, you did not abandon us, but offered a covenant of blessing for all humankind. You rescued your chosen people, Israel, as a sign of the great deliverance to come. You sent prophets to prepare the way. And when the time had come, you sent your Son, born of Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In word and wonder, he proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. For us, he was lifted up on the cross that we might know the power of his resurrection, and that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for him. He promised his Holy Spirit to those who believe, to comfort and guide us and make us children of you, his Father. Father, through him and in his name, we ask you, fill us with his Holy Spirit so that, until he comes again, we may remember him as he commanded us at supper on the night he was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus took some bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." When the meal was ended, he took a cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all humankind, so that sins might be forgiven. Do this to remember me, for I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until that day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." We share the blood of Christ.
Christ, oh, my love.
peace.
Lord, we have your peace.
Hymn 383.